One thing that becomes all too obvious is that everything that exists in our world is originated here in this super-dimensional reality, even if we accept that evolution and natural selections determine nature's unfolding. The inner processes are enacted here on these levels and created and acted out in the most sublime form of perfection. It doesn't matter whether we consider the inventor of an object to be ourselves or Mother Nature herself, it all springs from and is being nurtured by the primordial source of creation and intelligence, which is consciousness itself. Consciousness is a continuous cauldron of creation and experimentation, where whole worlds are created in one moment and then collapsed again the next, as a complex interaction of sounds manifesting and feeding back simultaneously in a constant interchange of seemingly intelligent energy, which is simply beyond all grasp. This is nature at work in its most primordial state, establishing a self-organizing universe, creating, testing and evolving in a continuous stream of experimentation where only the most perfect configurations, which remain stable enough, will make it to the next level and eventually into the physical world. Billions of such experiments take place moment by moment, some of which draw on the participation of individualized intelligences, including humans or groups of individualized consciousness, but the vast excesses are powered by the higher dimensional Mother Nature herself. For everything that exists down here, there are millions of different versions. The best way to understand this is by imagining a square room made up out of six mirrors, one covering each side, and in the center of the room is an object like a daisy, for example, which is reflected over and over again via the mirrors, but each reflection is a different daisy, and of the millions, perhaps only one or two may evolve to completion, being structured in such a way that it can manifest and survive in physical reality. There is a blueprint or a matrix for everything. There is also unimaginable abundance. Everything that exists or has ever existed in any of the other dimensions exists here in its perfected state, right at the source in all its permuted manifestations. This is what drives the universal matrix database, where the individual manifestations on the lower energy levels are called up from and molded into the required shapes and forms. Home consciousness is the hard drive of the universal data bank. The more we are in tune with the creative energy, the more successful our creation. If we intend to manifest an object on the astral level, it is already in existence here and created dynamically and interactively. All we need to do then is to provide the right channel or attitude for the energy to manifest our intent. That is the reason why it is so hard to manifest on the denser energy levels, because we are mostly cut off from or in disarray with the forces of materialization. Here we also find complete universes without physical counterparts, infinite varieties where some make it to a parallel physical level, others only to the astral. Each universe is unique, some small, some infinite. Some are in the process of imminent collapse, others are in the process of birth with only seconds to live, some with all the life forms that go with it. As human beings, we only ever see a tiny part of it, and I cannot tell much more than these imperfect glimpses I have received. I hope my reporting is a true representation of what I saw, but there is infinitely more than I appreciated and much more that I was unable to grasp at all in the form conventional understanding is accustomed to. Here on Earth, we employ science and mathematics to understand the mysteries behind creation, and by using massive particle accelerators we are trying to smash our way into the deepest mysteries. The fact remains that the core of all existence lies beyond the detection capabilities of our coarse instruments, but it lies in the core of the minds themselves, which create the tools with which we endeavor to unravel the great secret. We could argue that everything in these dimensions is in a state of synesthesia, where whatever we perceive also exhibits other sensory aspects. For example, shapes and colors have sound components, and sounds have color and shapes that animate to the continuously evolving and changing sound score. Even static objects are vibrating from within with dynamic energy, which adds vibrant life and a powerful element of presence. Thoughts are represented in intricate three-dimensional configuration, where each structural component accurately and unmistakably reveals an underlying sense or aspect of the thought. They can be grasped at once in this way and are experienced rather than seen in a detached way as we are used to when using our brains. Comprehending the inner mechanics of these incredible thought forms is not something we are compelled to do. It is more likely that at the first encounter we may be simply seduced by the awe-inspiring beauty and symmetry of the world surrounding us, without feeling obliged to unravel their inner nature. This is a fluid reality, a world where every thought and concept has manifested shape and every aspect communicates meaning and its inner truth. Every part of the state offers an irresistible invitation to unparalleled adventure and never-ending wonder. Everything we encounter or look at can open a new doorway to unexplored possibilities, where each new option can be subdivided into completely new pathways, ad infinitum with an endless cornucopia of treasures revealed as we wander, fly or meander along. This realm fulfills our potential, creativity and aspiration at the highest level. The same opportunities can happen as we travel through some of the astonishing sceneries, where the slightest shift in consciousness can transport us into a completely different world. Or we may rest and focus on a stone or a crystal, for example, and our focus may open the inner structure of the crystal and reveal a landscape that carries the same characteristics as the crystal, but now we are in a completely new world altogether. This simply shows that this world is truly and absolutely infinite. Every image we may have formed of heaven with angels, God, throne, clouds and all the surrounding fantasies are simply a documentation of the feebleness of our earthly minds. I have observed matter at various stages of manifestation, sometimes as light, swathes of clouds or mists, drifting color transmutations through complex patterns, seas of mirrors sparkling and moving in rainbow colors, ready to form new phenomena unthought of and never seen before. I have seen them manifesting in subtle landscapes of staggering atmospheres. Above all the grandeur and the beauty of these dimensions, we are safely and permanently anchored to filaments of bliss and, at any one point, we can pursue or trace these filaments to their original source. We cannot get lost if we are attached to the ever-present bliss that connects us instantly to the core of our awareness. Or we can allow ourselves to get lost completely as we travel on our pleasure boat of the senses, rocked gently along, in complete surrender or in active participation, always aware that we are on home ground wherever we sail. Whatever we look at or experience, we perceive its intimate connection to an intrinsic intelligence and source. No part can be divorced from it because everything is made from its core building block of light. Date missing, in the beginning was the sound. Let us now dwell for a moment on the sound aspect of this world, which appears to be the source where everything also springs from. How and what generates the sound in the first place is the great mystery, but it is sound and the pattern sound creates with its accompanying wave functions that appears to be the primary aspect of all materialization. In my professional career as an illustrator, when asked to provide illustrations for a large A3 size book on the cosmos, the editor had asked me to create artwork visualizing the Big Bang. Asking the author what it looked like, he told me that nobody knew and that by being an artist I might provide a more visually attractive guess. I felt very concerned about delivering an illustration for a science book that was mostly a guessed fantasy. So a few nights later, I induced an out-of-body experience in which I requested to be taken to the Big Bang. Within moments I was placed within a dark and endless void. Then, from four sides, four sounds materialized that interacted with each other, but nothing else happened. There was no Big Bang. Without telling him how I had arrived at the idea, on my return I bounced this sound concept off the author of the book in a telephone conversation, that the universe might have been created as a result of waveforms. The writer, a respected astrophysicist, told me that we would have to stick to the Big Bang model because that was our accepted theory. I mulled it over in my mind and speculated that the four sounds could have led to a feedback loop, similar to what we sometimes hear at pop concerts when the microphone picks up the sound of the speaker and feeds it back. I figured at the start of our universe, such a feedback loop might have led to an explosion resulting in a big bang. But this was just my amateur speculation. I still wonder whether that could simply have been a series of sound-originated waveforms turning into matter and forming the start of our universe via some kind of chain reaction. But I am only an artist and amateur and a very poor cosmologist and could only report what I actually saw. Generally speaking, everything has a sound component at its root and so has any object, including any thought, which reflects the aesthetic quality and character of the object, driven by the symmetries of their original underlying creative powers. It has long been known that sound creates waveforms which can be made visible, as has been demonstrated for many years in cymatics. Each sound creates a unique pattern, very distinct from any other sound. On the higher consciousness level, these can be observed in glorious 3D format, where sound not only creates waves but gives color and structure. Any changes in the sound, the frequency and the pattern is simultaneously expressed in its three-dimensional configuration. We can now clearly see the origin of manifestation. Mystics across all cultures unanimously agree that sound is at the origin of creation and is the permanently every moment to sustain and regenerate it. Sound is equated with consciousness and this celestial sound is the first aspect of creation. Everything created was brought forward by sound. It is the sound emanating from beyond the absolute regions that manifest the incredible vistas of the heavenly landscapes and all the universes below, including our Earth. The other powerful aspect of this dimension is the prevailing atmosphere or feeling, which can best be represented as an all-present love awareness. It is not in any sense personal or directed love, but an atmosphere of universal and omnipresent love. Disharmony is absent here as this is a characteristic of the lower dimensions brought about by an absence of positive or love energy and the disintegration of synchronistic order. Here, in these higher vistas of home consciousness, we literally live in a world of aesthetics and beauty, surrounded by enchanting sounds, propelled by the laws of harmonics, symmetry and balance and, above all, engulfed by the omnipresent and profound joy and love. We quickly discover that love and harmony are part of the driving principles on which the world is manifested, perhaps by a sound or song of love. It is not just the harmony within each object of creation, but also within the fields or community of all objects, where things are governed by mutual attraction and synchronize with each other. One thought object may attract another sympathetic thought object simply by proximity, vibrational synchronicity or the placement of attention, until whole clusters are created, which in turn create new superstructures, emitting a whole new harmonic symphony of sounds. We quickly realize that we become witness to a super principle of creation at work at every level and wherever we focus. In the physical universe, this force manifests as the basic energies, creating clusters of galaxies, stars, nebulae and planetary systems. In the natural world, it is at the heart of swarms, colonies of creatures, vegetation and insects, which are drawn together. On these sublime dimensional levels we can see these forces at work in their most transcendental and original form. Whole communities and cities are formed this way, but we can also see how nature organizes its own structures on these its core levels. Everything on Earth is intimately connected to a counterpart in these home realms of consciousness and nothing can exist without this link and connection. People with clairvoyant vision will be able to look at physical objects such as a piece of rock and actually observe its underlying structure, as I have done after deep meditation, when focusing awareness back on the physical level. We can see the molecular and atomic structure and beyond the pure energy at work in its configuration, which is more complex and more beautiful than our current particle instruments are capable of revealing. Without the link to the superdimensional essence, our earthly or any other life would just not be possible. This includes our every thought and feeling and every breath we take. No thought would be possible or could exist without its anchor in a superconsciousness energy level. The incredible reality is that every object we contemplate on in this way can connect us to its core energy and the consciousness that is at the very root of it by allowing ourselves to merge to its center. Any object we hold our attention on and surrender to in deep contemplation can lead us to its primordial source and connect us to its singularity. In fact, every point in the universe, every atom, even in this dimension, can function as such a gateway if we allow ourselves to merge and surrender to its original pure force. Meditation can consist of anything we focus our attention on, as long as we follow its internal thread to its core. Cosmic consciousness is not automatically realized at every point of the wide spectrum of these home dimensions. Where the energy flow is more diluted and at a slower vibrational rate, we can only work within those ranges until we enhance our sensitivity. So people don't automatically enter cosmic consciousness. In fact, the vast majority of dwellers are quite content to lead their blissful lives unconcerned with its inner workings or much wider and more sublime aspects. Neither may they feel inclined to follow the infinite adventures on offer. Just as on the lower dimensional levels, conscious awakening happens in degrees and is multi-layered and in accordance with the individual's inner program. Some live out their fantasies and simply fashion their own subjective world from the fine matter surrounding them, while others pursue a course of training and further evolution by developing their potentials. They join any of the vast consensus communities that are abundant in the cities, with infinite opportunities for exploration and development. It soon becomes very apparent why people feel inclined to spend the equivalent of millennia here by earthly time comparison. There are more opportunities for not just exploring our potentials, but expanding them, than on any other reality level. All the while inhabitants living here still find themselves in a state of continuous rapture and bliss, because of the total absence of negative exposure and a constant positive feedback from everything they encounter. People may argue, how is it possible to experience happiness without experiencing its opposite, and what is the point of it? The answer is that this is a state of consciousness unlike any we are ever able to experience in our physical presence, simply because our nervous system is designed for physical survival in a physical world unaware of the truly limitless scope for experience on a much higher dimensional level. The tools for our physical survival have evolved to deal with physical adversity, not higher consciousness awareness. We are basically animals programmed for survival in a world of adversity, largely unaware of the full potential for our future evolution, which is beyond anything our animal brain can comprehend. The challenges for us, within our true home state of consciousness, are of a totally different order, as is the potential for learning. Our powers of comprehension, processing and action are exponentially enhanced to such an extent that we might easily spend the equivalent of thousands of Earth years here without even having scratched the surface of our learning or experiencing potential. It is a misconception to believe that once we arrive in heaven, as some religious faiths may want us to believe, that our journey is over and that we simply reside in a state of eternal peace, doing nothing else but praising the Lord and singing hymns with the angels. The childlike image is simply reflecting our lack of comprehension. The reality is that once we awaken to our superconsciousness level, which is already part of our blueprint, we will simply embark on a new stage in our evolution, and our journey as human beings will have only just begun. We will have moved a further step away from the animal kingdom from which we have emerged and will have entered a vast new playing field for our evolution. The light at the end of the tunnel is only the beginning of a larger tunnel, not the end. Laid out before us are dimensions unknown, and we have not even developed the tools to register them in any form. Date missing, meditation. Oops, I was meditating this morning at 5 o'clock. I reached a point of stillness and inner freedom so sublime that I no longer considered myself a person limited by the outer contours of my body. When I opened my non-physical eyes, I was squatting in front of a pond with clear blue water. I was tilting towards it at an almost 45 degree angle, thinking, "My God, what a wondrous world we live in." One moment I close my eyes in meditation and the next I opened them and I am outdoors in a totally different place, overlooking a magical pond. It felt so natural. Such a simple moment of deep contemplation, and with deep gratitude I began to praise this miracle of nature. I calmly observed the water and experienced an irresistible pull to be submerged in its cool crystal liquid. I was very aware that I was still meditating and, despite the change of location, I was still experiencing the same incredible calmness, stillness and connectedness. I closed my non-physical eyes and carried on meditating. For minutes I was focused solely on the gentle rapture of knowing that I was linked to something too wondrous to describe in words. When I opened my non-physical eyes again, the visions came in very powerfully. I was now in the vistas of the highest dimension, having surrendered myself joyfully to the inner being that was guiding me through new landscapes of such alien beauty that I began to wonder what kind of God had conjured it up. I was presented with a gift of incredible beauty, an offering to me as an artist and admirer. It was an intimate presentation from one lover to another. I was gliding in a state of silent rapture over strange and unknown lands, changing and shifting as I progressed. One moment the whole world was made out of millions of shades of silver, the light and the atmosphere with the features of the landscape obligingly following the feelings evoked by the color. The next moment the lands beneath and all around me warmed into mellow pinks, with many lakes and hills rising into sharp peaks. Yet the atmosphere was soft like a sunset, yet bright and strong. The air was pure light and spirit. Wherever I looked, beautiful architectural features appeared, squatting on little islands with strange exotic trees faceted around them as if holding precious jewels. Yet there was no moment when these alien sceneries did not feel like my homelands, where I truly belonged, despite the fact that the features changed and evolved as my free spirit conquered new territories. There was no awareness of time and whether I spent minutes, hours or days there, I could not tell. There was yet more to come. I felt the intimacy and closeness to my home becoming stronger, despite the strangeness of the lands floating past me. I became aware of an invisible presence, which I connected to a blue star that appeared over the horizon. It was set within an elaborate kaleidoscope like a diamond in a rare and precious ring. It was getting bigger and bigger as I focused on it, although in reality I was simply swept along as I was drawn towards it in absolute surrender. As I drifted towards its center, the star became a sun brighter than anything previously known, and here words and thoughts disappeared as our union was fulfilled. Practitioners know the great power of meditation lies inside the heart, in the fearless abandoning to love. Many spend years in meditation trying to force the mind to focus. All the strict effort may be wasted if the heart is not employed. Why not spend minutes surrendering to the heart and consummate the union with your very source instead of forcing nature along routes it is not designed to go? Then, when you have drunk all the joys the heart has to offer and you feel replenished, keep the fire burning and humbly and secretly take it with you wherever you go. The reason why there are so few reports of these incredible home worlds is probably because of the powerful attraction of the light of singularity, which the visitors instantly give preference to. The light is never far away and it only needs a shift in awareness to surrender to it. So the moment you surrender, there is no telling where it will take you. Compared to entering the core reality of our being, our true home, anything appears poor by comparison, even the heaven I have been trying to describe at length. Here we enter the realm of the absolute, which is greater than anything, greater than love because it is absolute stillness and absolute clarity. It is this pull that will not let us rest until we've found this origin. Once we are united with it, we willingly go out to become its servant, even if it means descending down into dense and dark realms, where people have lost all hope and all connection to themselves and are wandering around in a state of confusion and disorientation, while clinging desperately to their fixations, fragile beliefs and old patterns out of sheer habit. I have come across humble workers here on earth caring for lost and suffering souls who would blush if it were suggested that they were enlightened. A large number of individuals who are firmly connected to their source settle in the heaven worlds at the other end of the spectrum, from where, In a vastly expanded state of consciousness, they perform their service by lending a guiding hand to their chosen charges, groups, animals or subjects of interest. They live in consensus realities in the home consciousness, in cities and worlds more magnificent and illuminated than anything established on the denser levels of reality. But here in our world they can be found too, where they work anonymously and in disguise, never giving away the slightest inkling of where they are from and where their true home lies. Homecomings, when entering and enjoying the spectacular creative drama taking place in these sublime dimensional realities, it may sound as if we are turning our backs on the omnipresent all-pervading grace, but this is hardly possible. Wherever we are, there is a strong connection to the singularity powering all. To the strict mystics this may feel like a distraction, but in reality it is a celebration of the glory of consciousness and, to the believer, a celebration of God. Our connection to the source is an ever-present awareness. Although we may be called to our intimate union from the home consciousness to our source, it may feel like traveling through a tunnel of light, where everything appears as a pattern around us along the way. The secret of the cosmic traveler lies in the deep connection to his source wherever they are, whether in the labyrinth of time or the open vistas of heaven. We remain faithfully connected to the inner stillness even here on earth in the midst of turmoil and even war. Some mystics, programmed by years of concentration and devout discipline, may regard these worlds as mere distractions and turn a blind eye so that they follow the singular call to their source and reunite. But once the stillness of our union has become our blood, we only have to offer our attention to feel the connection again. It no longer matters where we are. We are always residing in the stillness of our singularity. The 14th of March 2010, the heart of home. I was intending to find my way back again once, with the intention of gaining access into the home dimensions, and used the same awake back to bed technique of the previous week, see the directors of Cartoon City. I was tired of being tied to the lower dimensional levels, which were little better than the earth I was accustomed to. I wanted to achieve a higher level of consciousness and the level of clarity associated with it. After meditating for half an hour, I went back to bed. A short while later, I began to see shapes through my closed eyes for a brief moment. I studied their features. They were people with rough, dark skins, quite close by. I also noticed that I had difficulty clearing my mind and it felt as if I had been drugged. A couple of times I tried to achieve full waking awareness by focusing on my hands, but all I could muster were two fuzzy shapes. It was a strain to acquire awareness with the dull, heavy feeling hanging inside my head. I decided to wake. I got out of bed and noticed a slight headache, which I thought was the result of having spent the night with the window shut. I then went into the kitchen to fetch a glass of water. Duly refreshed, I went into my meditation room. It was 5:30 a.m. Enough time, I thought, to enter into an out-of-body state, hopefully brought about by deep meditation. I started by using a normal spinal breathing meditation technique, followed by the sutras to raise my consciousness. The side effect of this can be that it can lead to yogic sleep, with the strong possibility of achieving lucidity. My first glimpse of awareness was unsatisfactory. I found myself in a semi-lucid state, struggling to acquire waking consciousness. I seemed to be bouncing like a yo-yo between dream state and semi-lucid awareness. Finally, I found my focus and pinned my attention on reaching higher consciousness. In order to achieve this, I allowed myself to detach from everything, my body, my personality, my environment and my identity, in the simple act of complete surrender. I yielded absolutely to the knowledge that a unifying essence of consciousness is all there is and nothing else, a singularity which was the source pool of my existence. Then I even surrendered the concept, the intent and the interest. Almost instantly I rose into the air, as if pulled onwards by invisible strings. I traveled through a kaleidoscopic tunnel. The higher I rose, the faster I accelerated, until the patterns merged into bright bands of color, which became brighter the further I traveled and zoomed, until I shot into the most glorious infinite firmament that opened up above me. I then felt an incredible benediction, a reassurance that I was recognized by the Force as one of its own. With that came an outpouring of intense love of which I was unable to tell whether I was the giver or the beneficiary. It was just love in its purest and most sublime form, with an intense joy of being completed and utterly fulfilled. At the same time, the intensity of the color and light that poured towards me engulfed me in ecstasy unknown. I made one last distinct effort to retain conscious awareness, but the ecstasy drove me into oblivion. It was too much to bear, too great to take note of.